Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified, and your name is glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, and the saints say, amen. Say, I'm ready for God's word. Come on, I'm not hearing you like you are ready. Say, I am open, and I'm ready for God's word. You know, as we would get to, whenever we do get to it, you know, there are laws on how to receive from God, and it works all the time. One of them is expectation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church, praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says there was a man at the gate called Beautiful. Paul, Peter, and his colleague were going to the hour of prayer. Say, even the early church, at the hour of prayer. Amen. Praise God. As they were going, they saw somebody at the Beautiful gate, and then he asked them for alms. And they said, you know, expecting to receive something. That's the point. He asked them for alms, expecting to receive. That's it. That's it. That's how your heart is open to receive. Just, you know, sometimes we have gotten so religious that people honestly pray, but don't believe God will answer. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. And that's why sometimes people take prayer times for granted. They think it's just what we do to get to the next thing. Amen. But one of the keys that aids in this thing called prayer is expecting to receive. The person said, he asked them for alms, expecting to receive something. And then Peter then says, silver or gold I don't have. What I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And what happened to the man? The man stood up because he was expecting to receive something. Amen. Say, I expect to be edified in this meeting. All right, we are looking at the teaching, supply of the Spirit, and we started last week in the subsection that we are looking at, which is we are dealing with the things that can quench the Spirit. Amen. Can you remember what the things that can do what? So how many of us have the Spirit within us? All right, okay, let's see that. Let's start off from there in case you were not here last week. Let us open to 2 Timothy. Say, I have the Spirit. It is in me. The Spirit is within me. Come on, let's say that boldly. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it better. I am the house of God. Say, I am the house of God. Ask your neighbor, where is God? Where? No, ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, where is God? Wait for their answer. Where is it? Where is God? Where is God? You know, we don't see it as so. That's what I'm always saying. Our hearts are not open to the reality of the gospel. So that's why the Bible says sometimes we walk like mere men. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Where is God? Okay, let's break it down, because that's how we speed read and speed write and speed speak. Is God in dummy? So if we were looking for God, we wanted to have a meeting and we're looking for God. If dummy is in the meeting, is God there? Amen. Amen. So that we don't look at it like maybe dummy is the special one amongst us. You know, I was listening to all my tapes throughout the year, and I realized that one of the people that I've spoken so much about in my teachings is Fola. So I just decided that I would just be using it so that Fola can become someone I use every Sunday. So if we were looking for God, and we are saying, where is God? But Fola is in the meeting. If Fola is in the meeting, is God in that meeting? Why did everybody say yes for Dami and they didn't say yes for Fola? What's going on? Why is this discrimination? Is when Fola is in a meeting, is God in that meeting? Fola, is there something? Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. If Fola is in a meeting and we were looking for God, is God in that meeting? Yes. Why is God in that meeting? Because Fola is the temple of
God. Fola is the what? As Fola is, so are you. You are not like God's temple. You are not like the Ark of the Covenant. Those were type and shadows. Who are you? Are what? The church. Who are you? You are the? Who are you? You are the? You're the temple of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let us look at verse 6. And I've said it many times. There's a difference between someone being here and, for example, someone speaking. How many people know that Dami is here? Is Dami here? But Dami is here, but she's quiet. She's not manifesting. So is there a difference between the presence of Dami and the manifestation of Dami? Yeah. So when we say that God is here, it's a fact. But the manifestation of God is a different thing entirely. Are you getting the point? Church, are you getting the point? Okay, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Are you there? Are you there? It says, wherefore I put thee in. Okay, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. I want you to be there. The reason why I'm teaching this slowly is so that I don't quote it so fast that you think maybe I'm just trying to put a wool over your face. Look at verse 6. Are you there now? Yes. Wherefore I put thee in. Remember that thou should do what? Stir up the gift, the charisma, the ability, the faculty of God in you. Amen? So the man is already saying that the Spirit is where? In you. By the putting on of my hands. Look at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Do we have a spirit in us? What spirit is in us? The spirit of God. And if God is a spirit, so God is in us. Right? So he's not telling us that that spirit that is in us is not the spirit of fear. It's not the spirit of what else? But it is the spirit of what else? Power. And what else? What else? So, listen carefully. There is a spirit in you. True or false? What spirit is that spirit not? It is. So, do believers get afraid? Yeah. But God is saying that there is a spirit that they have that is not of fear. So there is something that the believer has that he can use to chase away fear. Is that okay? Are we together? So the point is not that believers get afraid or they don't get afraid. The point is that they have a spirit that does not emit fear. But believers, things happen in life that gets them afraid. But the Bible is now saying, say, I believe what the word says about me. The Bible says that you have the spirit of power. How many people are powerful here? So, can we say Dami is powerful? Why is Dami powerful? Because she has the spirit. Should I go fast as I always go fast? Do you like it? Oh, this one I'm breaking it like we're in kindergarten. You don't like it. Is Dami powerful? Why is Dami powerful? She has the spirit. So in that spirit, the Bible says the spirit that Dami has, there is power in it. One. Now that power in Dami, listen carefully, is the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many days did Jesus die that you know? How many? No, ask questions that you don't miss. If you miss it, see, all we'll do is we'll laugh at you. We'll laugh at you a lot. And then we'll continue. I'm just joking. How many days did Jesus die for? 3. And then a power raised that Jesus from the dead. So, and the Bible says that power is the exact same power that is in who? dummy. So, raising of the dead power, where is that power? In dummy. You know, dummy is a type and shadow of the believer in this meeting today. Amen. Dummy and Fola. Amen. Amen. So there is power in dummy. If somebody died now and dummy is there, we should say, dummy is here now. If dummy was not here, we should be afraid, but dummy is here. Why? If dummy is here, who else is here? God. Are you getting where we are going? What are we talking about today is a teaching called supply of the spirit. So dummy is the representation of God's power on the earth. Amen. There is another thing about the power or the spirit that dummy has. Is there? He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So, if we wanted a school, if we're looking for an encyclopedia in love, can we go to dummy and she's got all of the love of God in her? Yeah. Where is all of God's love? Is it up or down? Is it up somewhere or down? He's in the believer. Amen. How many people sing? I know you sing that song. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. You sing it. But when we preachers are not trying to break down what you are singing, you say, really? Yeah. Glory of God. The presence of God. The power of God. The love of God. Who can dummy love? Anybody. But remember, there is a difference between dummy's presence and dummy's manifestation. Amen? 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 You know, what I'm trying to teach you makes you a Superman, if you get it. So the power that raised Christ from the dead, 3 days, dead body, came back. The Bible says that power, when it was exerted, it will erase Christ from the dead, and God in his love put that power in you. It's there. Now, Paul now says, let me show you the secret. When I learned this thing, I realized that I was a Superman. It's not a brag, it's a fact. Say, I'm a Superman. I'm supernatural. Come on, I'm supernatural. I am. Why? There is something. Or rather, let me say it better. There is someone we have received. Amen. But what is the secret? It's there in verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee into remembrance. It's there. The secret is there. I put thee into remembrance. What is the problem with dummy? There is a tendency that dummy is so powerful. Her power is so powerful. She is so powerful. She forgets. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's why he's saying, I'm putting you into remembrance. This is the problem. It's not the devil. It's the fact that you have either chosen to forget or you know and you're not doing anything about it. He says, you're afraid? Okay, now we know you're afraid, but you know you don't need to stay in fear. For dummy to stay in fear is dummy's choice. There is something that dummy can do and she will get out of fear. There is something that dummy will do and she will manifest power here. There is something that dummy will do that when she appears, a lame person would walk. A blind person would see. Yes, where is it? It's in dummy. God is in dummy. God would not change his postcode. He wouldn't change his mind. Every day, every time she wakes up, even when dummy is crying, God is there. When dummy is saying I'm powerless, God is there. When she's singing, lonely, I'm so lonely, I have nobody, God is there. The point is, she has forgotten. Are you hearing me? Church, are you hearing me? What does dummy need to do? To see the manifestation of power, love, in real time. What is it there? Therefore, I put in to remember that thou should do what? Hey, I'm in verse 6. Thou should do what? People like my preaching, they are so. When I say verse 7, verse 6, amen. That thou should. So, who does the staring? Is it God or is it you? You know, this is what made me realize that I'm a Superman on this earth. Say, I'm a Superman on this earth. You're not saying it with conviction. Say, I'm a Superman on this earth. Come on, say it again. I'm a Superman on this earth. He says, I put you into remembrance that I will stir up the gift of God that is in you. That word is the word fan to flame. It's resident. You know, I come from a place where which they boil. Is it boil that they roast corn? Ayala comes from that place too. Right? You know, you have something like a bowl. They now put fire in it. There is now, there's coal in it. She comes from the flame stars, what I'm talking about. Amen. And then they put something metal on it. Ah, it's like Brother Sadiq is angry. Brother Sadiq comes from the place as well. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you see, and then they put the corn on it. But you know, there's a woman there that is a skillful. She's skillful. She's got a grace. People, Pentecostals like grace. She has an anointing. She can get that corn from raw to edible. How? It's not because she's better than any other person. It's because she sat down and she was fanning it to flame. She was fanning it to flame. And as she fans it to flame, she sees fire. Where was the fire? It was below. It first starts up with smoke, but she didn't stop. She just kept at it. She kept at it. And before you know it, it's burning the corn. The corn is shouting, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's happening? Because something from beneath is taking over this corn. This corn has changed frame. Are you hearing me? Oh, tell me, there's more to you. If only you will stir up that gift that is on the inside of you. There's more. There's more. Praise God. Praise God. You leave the realms of fear. Your eyes are open. You see the days to come. You stop walking in timidity and fear. You stop walking in the limitations of this world. You look ahead and you laugh. You walk with confidence. You walk with boldness. Why? You've stirred up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. Are you hearing me? What are you going to do this week? You will stir up. Why? God is not coming to do anything for you. He's giving you the gift. He's giving you the charisma. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. You are that powerful. Would you stir up? Stir up the gift of God that is in you. You know, a lot of people waste time on many things. People try to waste time on lobbying. People try to waste time on compromising. Why don't you spend that time you waste on stirring up the gift of God in you and walk like a chairman on this earth? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch God's will and God's plan come to pass as you just walk through it. Even when the storms of life come, you are strengthened to walk through it. Let me tell you, in life, God might not take you, nor might not deliver you from the storm, but He strengthens you to go through it. How? Where is the strength? You see the puzzle about the believer. Where is the strength of Dami? It's in Dami. So Dami, you say, I'm weak. I'm weak. Dami shouldn't say I'm weak. What should Dami do? Stand up and stir up herself. Are you hearing me? Say, I'll stir up myself. Come on, I'll stir up myself. I've used 20 minutes to say you should stir up yourself. Honestly, if you don't live a life of stirring up yourself, you are in disobedience. That's hardness of heart. Amen. 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 All right, now let's get into it quickly, you know, as we start to conclude. Though I just started. We're talking about quenching. You see, I've told you about the power. The power is in you. I've told you what to do. But I'm not saying there are some things, you know, may you not walk. How many people have, you know, the fallacy of, you know, where I come from, that Ayola comes from. In some of those areas, they don't have water coming from the tap. So you have to go somewhere called a stream and go and fetch. That's where you're like, believe it or not. Right, you know, believe it or not. Yeah, so she will fetch that water. You know, imagine fetching that water and you are pouring it into another tank. But that tank has holes. So you are pouring it into the tank. You think the tank is full by now. When you are done, you feel you are done, you go and check the tank and you find that nothing, all the water has... Have you ever fetched water into a broken keg? Ah, who are these I'm preaching to? Amen. Amen. See, Uncle John. Chief, where he comes from, that's all that they have. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's how they fetch water. He's now, his head down. His head down. Don't disgrace me. Amen. He's one of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see the point there? He's fetching water. Uncle John is fetching water. You'll have said, I have water to bath now. Only to go to the car where he put the water. It's empty. Amen. So there are some things. Though, yes, you can stir up the gift of God that is in you. But there are some things that will not make it show. And we checked it last week. And we want to see the conclusion of it. It's real. I'm telling you, it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. Where which, if you hear the part of you have power and you run, meaning you know those people that don't finish the service, they just run. Pastor Daniel said, we have power. He didn't finish the service. He will be that kind of brother that went to fetch water. And he's pouring it into the care because there are some things that actually punch this thing. Let's look at it from scriptures. First Thessalonians chapter 5. We were there last week. We'll go again. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 19. I'll now start to run very fast. What does it say there in verse 19? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Are you there now? Are you there now? Yes. Do not quench the spirit. So can I quench the spirit? Yes. So all of those things I was saying for the last 20 minutes, stir up. Can you quench it? Yes. Imagine you stirring up the gift of God with one hand and now taking water on the other hand and pouring it into the same thing. That's what a lot of believers do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It now looks like the manifestation is not manifesting. No, it's because we actually can stir up the gift. And guess who else is the only person that can quench it? Yeah. So we are now being taught how to ensure we don't quench the spirit. And last week, we talked about the fact that we are all members of the same body. Amen. Look at that. We ended in verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. That's where we ended last week. Look at verse 16. You know, we are looking at verse 19 before, telling us we can quench the spirit. We are not looking from above what it will mean when it comes to quenching the spirit. Verse 16. There is something that I can do that if I maintain this flow, I will not quench the spirit. What is verse 16 saying you should do? Church, what did he say you should do? So, you know what? Let's put it, you know, because people always say, Pastor Dio, let's make this doctrine practical. Yeah. So, you know what? Imagine Brother Sadiq. Look at it very carefully. Somebody's angry. Call it Brother Sadiq. Okay, let's use Dami. All right. Imagine Dami. Dami now just finished praying for 6 hours. She's teared up. In fact, she's already feeling the goose pimples of angels around her. She's already saying, Angel Michael, like she feels robust. She has goose pimples everywhere. As she's walking, she just wants to go into hell and quench your fire. That's how she's feeling after 6 hours. And then somebody on the road, as she's going somewhere, just looks at her and says, you're stupid. Something is wrong with you. Why are you like this? Let's make it closer. A friend. You know that people outside, they can insult you. Let's use Brother John again. It happens to Brother John all the time. They insult him. Right? But imagine somebody close to him. So you just be like, oh yeah, that's how they do. This world, wicked world. But let's imagine someone close to him. He just finished praying for 6 hours. Filled with the Spirit. Someone close to him now says, you're stupid. Brother John, your jokes are not funny. Who are you? Where are you from? And does something, takes his money, runs away. And now brother John decides to go into murmuring. Prolonged murmuring. Complaining. Bickering. Anger. Malice. He's upset with this very close person. He could be his father. He could be the mother. Guess what? They could have done logical things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many people believe that Uncle John is logical? He doesn't just wake up and is angry with somebody. Say, why are you angry? That's I just feel like being angry with her. So it's logical. Meaning the person will have done something to him. Amen. Yeah. You know, I'm talking about, and this is where I'm talking about quenching the spirit. Say the love of God, is in me. Logical things. It's not that, you know, we are just trying to. Logical things have happened. Or you lose a job. Or a boyfriend of 4 years says he's not doing again. Are you hearing me? You know, because when we teach this message, everybody thinks it's just, is it not rejoice?
Is it not rejoicing in the Holy Ghost? Is that not what Pastor is always doing? He removes suit and be dancing around. Is it not that one? No. I'm talking about difficult life situations. James was writing to a people. Are you hearing me? He was writing to a people that were persecuted. They were not allowed to buy and sell because they believed the gospel. You know, I laugh at, that's why I always tell people, I don't complain about the Christians. I believe I'm privileged. I don't complain to God. I don't talk about all the, God, see what we're going through. I'm not going through anything. In those days, you can go to church and not come back. In the days of Daniel, you say you're a believer, you enter fire. You first enter fire, first, like Shadrach. You know, and I'm not trying to downplay what you are going through. I'm just telling you that in the generation that we are in, what people call persecution is what Paul will be laughing about. Amen. Daniel, they said, deny God. He said, deny. What, do your worst. They said, we will put you in lion's den. You become barbecue for lion. Put me. That's the generation of what we have inherited. Oh. In our generation today, believer, rain will fall. You say it's not going to church. Something that you should repent and be wailing and crying out by yourself. Declare yourself that something has happened. Do like 4 days of prayer and fasting. How can you think like that? Amen. I'm telling you. The weather will just brug. You say, no. I'm feeling. Who told you Christianity is about your feelings? It has nothing to do with how you feel. It's about what the word says. Amen. Praise God. So something terrible happens. Picture it the way you like. And God will say, rejoice evermore. Are you hearing me? So how can you rejoice evermore? The only way the believer can rejoice evermore is if the source of his joy is not something on this earth. Write it down. Do you know why? On this earth, things change. Have you ever met all those, I was formerly? Oh, who am I preaching to this sort of Sunday? Have you ever heard, I was formerly the managing director of, I used to formerly own 4 houses. Formerly, I was the governor of, I was the former mayor, and he's now looking like mayor. Amen. 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 Formally. So things change on the world. Imagine if all your joy was around your job. When you lose it, you'll be inconsolable. Are you hearing? That's why God says, do not put your joy in the things of this earth. I am not saying if you get a promotion, be frowning. I'm just saying that's not where your joy is. Because if you put your joy there, what's going to happen is that because of the system of this world, the system of this world is determined by men. And the devil is behind a lot of things. He will tamper with you. You become a yo-yo. Today you are saying, glory be to the Lord. Tomorrow you are saying, bless you, bless you. Why? Because your joy is around earthly things. And God says, don't do that to yourself. Don't. He says, rejoice evermore. In what? In what he has done for you in Christ. What should you put your joy on? Who you are in Christ. Amen? Who are you in Christ? The fact is that you have eternal life. What does that mean? It means you have been delivered from the darkness of this world. It means that you are now God's own. That is where believers put their joy. Don't think, see, I'm not one of those that says that we are a local church. If something happens to you, we gather for you and all of those kind of things. But if your joy is in things of this world, you will be of no use to God. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Can good things happen to bad people? Yeah. You need to only look at Acts 16. God, you know, the God that is in Dami, spoke to Paul. You know, what can be clearer than that? In a vision. And told him to go to Macedonia. Say Macedonia. He goes to Macedonia, preaching the gospel. And he finds someone that is demon-possessed. And he says, what did Jesus say we should do to demons? Cast them out. So what does he do? He casts out the demon. What happens? This was the demon that was making money for the people of those days. They were gamblers. So be like, what will Arsenal play? Arsenal, you say 2-1. They will put money on 2-1 and they will cash out. So they were very rich. Very rich people. If I was them too and I was not born again, caveat, I would be angry.
I just sit down, have Oracle. They say, Arsenal is playing Chelsea. What is he playing? I'll say, Ayola, give me 1,000 there. Precious, give me 2,500. We'll put 3,500 and we'll use it to make, put it in the whole thing. Say, if they win, we get 25K. And we'll just be making money. Amen. So I will have been, so all of a sudden, he cast out that demon. And all of the money source of those people is gone. They get angry. And they get Paul and Silas in jail. So they got into jail for doing the will of God. There was nobody there with them. Nobody to counsel them. No pastor to call and say, don't worry, it's just jail. We'll send you one or two things. We'll visit you once in a while. No, they were alone. And the Bible tells us that they put them in the inner cell. Inner cell is for notorious crooks. In our days today, they call it segregation. Meaning you have no access. Yeah, there are people like that. If you have done something criminal, they put you, you have no access to light or anything. They want you to see darkness till your head comes back to normal. Amen. Praise God. Because there is something loneliness can do to your brain. So they put you there, segregation. That's where they put them. What did the Bible say they were doing? Was that a normal reason? Sister Temi, was it a normal reason to complain? Yes. You know, you can sit down there and say, this God, where is he? Is he worth it? How can we? After all we have done for Jesus. Amen. And they would continue to bicker. And it will be legitimate. We'll be telling them, sorry, sorry, sorry. What are they actually doing? They are quenching the spirits. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Say, I give to rejoicing. I give myself to rejoicing. Let me humor you. Do you know that the book of Philippians was the book that has the most rejoice in it of Paul's letters? Do you know where Paul wrote that letter? He wrote the letter. Imagine someone in prison writing to you outside, telling you to rejoice. In that prison, according to the historians, they said they put Paul in the prison where, which below his prison was the sewage of the whole town. Are we getting what I'm saying? It's not just that he was in prison. His smell was not edified. What he was smelling was the waste of men. It's like some people are just saying, should I go further in what he was smelling? Because you know, excreta, feces. Should I go further? Breath. So that was what was passing through it was passing through his cell block. And when he would pen to people outside that were not in stocks, what did he tell them? Rejoice in the Lord. And that book was if you check that book, it has rejoice in the Lord, Romans 1:18. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 1:18. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3:1. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 4:4. Somebody that is going through a lot that we should be telling, it is well. You will soon come out. You know those encouragement things? No. He was encouraging us from there. Why? His joy is not in the earthly things. And that is where a lot of Christians struggle. Their joy and excitement is all about things on this earth. That's why it's easy for them to quench the spirit. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes in your marriage, you rather be filled with the spirit than quench it just so that because you want to be right. Amen. What I just said, does it make sense? Like, you know that you are right. If we're in court, you can actually say, you can define it out that you are right. But you're just looking at it that, this is a battle between being right and quenching the spirit. Because I will still first abuse you. Before I can finish my statement, I'll just be like, you know what? You are right, you are right, you are right. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Why? Being filled with the spirit means a lot to you. Praise God. Praise God. It says, rejoice evermore. If you look through the Bible, James 1:3, count it all joy. When you go through drivers, trials, even through tribulations, it says rejoice. Why? It says, when you are going through trials, it says you should say to the trial, I will come out better because I will use my faith. All those things that I've been hearing from Pastor Dio in my study, in my prayer time, I will use it in this situation and I'll be stronger. Let me tell you something. There is no champion who did not fight. Amen.
A lot of people like sweatless victory. Ah, your muscles will be weak. Oh. Amen. Imagine our former champion, Anthony Joshua. He has never received a blow. He can't really be champion. That's honorary. You know, there's some people that are doctors today. There is honorary doctor. Amen. Not like Dr. Fola. Dr. Fola went to school. You get my point. This one, they just looked at you. We like you. You like us. Doctor. I'm just joking, but you get my point. Amen. You gotta go through. You have to eat. You exercise all those things you've learned. Stand in the midst of storms. Pray even when nothing is happening and nothing seems like it's happening. You stay there. When you get through that phase, you come out and say, ha ha ha, I'm stronger. Yeah. That's what we use trials to do. Say trials for us. They are bread. We eat it to grow. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. So rejoice evermore. Glory. Church, glory. 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 Where is our joy? In the fact that we have a father, a friend, one who saw us on the way to death. You know, the first vision I had when I got born again was a vision of men just jumping into something that was an abyss. When they jumped, we didn't hear of them anymore. Many years ago, this is the first time I'm talking about that vision. The first vision I had of the Lord, I was like, what is this? And I was on my way there too. And I saw a hand just picked me out. And I was delivered from that destruction. What I'm saying to you is that is the reason for our joy. We have been delivered from so great a death. We have been given eternal life. Nothing in this world is greater than the fact that we've got life. Glory! Yeah. What else, as we continue and conclude, what else in this journey would help us not to quench the spirit? It says, pray without. Hey, my God. Pray without. So a believer, our calling is a calling to prayer. We pray not because there's a problem. We pray because it's our nature. Amen. You know, people like to pray when there's a prayer point. Yeah, there's always going to be a prayer point, but sometimes we pray. And what are we praying for? Nothing. We are just praying. Amen. Because it's not every time we know what to pray for as we ought. So when we give ourselves to prayer, we give ourselves to a supply. Let me explain it. There are two prayers I will talk about today, just so that it makes sense to you. Number one, and hear me clearly on this ground, because I don't believe believers know how to pray this prayer, though it is the simple one. And it's called prayer of petitions. Prayer of what? This is the realm of your needs. Are you hearing me? You know, people bother a lot, and they are Christians. I can't reconcile it. Why? It's in your Bible, John 14, verse 13. It's either it's in your Bible or you don't believe God's word. If not, we're not seeing it in your actions. And a lot of us got to repent. We complain, we murmur, we gripe until someone asks you, have you prayed about it? Say, oh, yeah. No, look at John 14. If you even understand prayer well, you understand that, in fact, sometimes is when we pray, man, God then reaches men to help us. Look at John 14. Look at verse 13. Let's look at it from verse 12 so that it makes sense to you. Because sometimes when we read the Bible, it always looks like it's not true. Look at John 14, verse 12. Hey, time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. I hope you mark these things in your Bible because you can use it. You can use it. Yes, you can. Look at it. He that believeth on me, the what? Works that I do, shall he? Who is talking? Jesus. Did Jesus do some things on the earth that you saw? Hey, talk to me. Did Jesus do some things on the earth that you saw that is big, mighty, miraculous? Who else did he say can do it? Hey, yeah. Who else did he say can do it? Can Uncle John do it? Can he? Are you sure? How about Fola? Can Fola do it? Yeah. Look at John 14, verse 12. He says, he that believeth on me. Who are we? We are believers. So it's us. He that believeth on me. So the very same things that Jesus did, I can do. Someone shout glory. The very
This is Jesus. The very same works. If he stopped there, I'm okay. But he didn't. He said, look at it. And what? Greater. And what? Greater than the... shall glory. You know, it looks like we're just exciting ourselves. Jesus said, greater than these shall we do. Why? Is there? Why? Why? Because he's gone to the Father. When he went to the Father, what came to us? The Spirit. So by the Spirit, we can do greater. You know, even saints have not started doing what he did. When we find somebody with cancer, we just say, sorry. Jesus loves you. I know. Greater than this shall we do. For he has given us a name. So, okay, that's verse 12. You know, I always teach you Bible in context. Look at verse 13 now. How would you do the greater works? He's there. How would these things happen? Say, I'm a believer. Look at verse 13. It says, and whatsoever. This has left me from always murmuring. As long as John 14 verse 13 is in the Bible, why should I murmur? Oh God. Oh, blessed be God. John 14 verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask, how? In my name. Do you believe these things? Yeah. What's going to happen? Whatsoever you ask in my name, the word in the originals is demand. That would happen. That will I do, that the Father may be in the. You ask. The Father is glorified in the Son that you asked in the name of Jesus and it happened. Amen. See me, this is the realm of your needs. You ask. Basic things. You ask. Lord, especially the things that God gives directly. Lord, I need help with this. Lord, can you ask? Amen. You know, the Bible is so filled with the scriptures saying you should ask that it makes it look like God already knew believers had problems with asking. Ask. Are you hearing me? Church, are you hearing me? Look at James 1 verse 5. It's the same thing. It's like he's thinking, this boy's got a problem with asking. So he's putting everywhere. Ask, ask, ask. Look at James 1. James 1. Are you there? Okay, I'll wait for you. Look at James 1. Are you in verse 5? If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So there is a God that is excited when you ask. Are you there? Church, are you there? Is this the realm of petitions? Ask him. Amen. You know this is the realm of the things that bother me. I want a wife. I ask. Amen. Amen. I need help with. I ask. I want to. I don't bother myself with those things. I ask. My asking is the wisdom of God. My bother is the foolishness of God. What I concern myself with is asking. When I don't ask, I am acting like an unbeliever that doesn't have a father. When I ask, God is pleased. I'm asking. I'm behaving like a believer. So I do not use my whole life talking about petitions because I have asked. Amen. Church, amen. We're going to talk about faith next week, but from a point of view of petitions, ask. Now, there's another kind of praying. How many people have heard about intercession? Right? Supplication, intercession. This is where you are carrying on your back the burdens and the passions of Christ. Meaning you want the will of God to come to pass. Now, the difference in this one is that there are principalities and powers involved. This has to do with the lives of other men. There are principalities and powers involved. And so we stay in the place of prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, good. Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? So that is why we spend our life. This is the real meaning and why we do prayer without ceasing. Why? In the world that we are in, the will of God is one. The will of devil is another one. The devil has many men on this earth doing evil. God's will is at risk. And so we pray.
So what do we use this prayer for? Number one, if you wanted to write, we use the prayer to bind the forces of darkness in a particular territory. Can we get a believing amen? Church, can we get a believing amen? Hey, church, can we get a believing amen? So, as we are here in the United Kingdom, let me break it a little. In London, there are principalities and powers and forces who are against the will of God. What are they about? They don't want men to be saved. And they will stand against it by all costs. That is their primary assignment. Where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves in the place of what? Intercession. And when we are interceding, what are we doing? We are praying that men and women who have rejected the gospel will hear the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid. I want you to be there. Meaning, if the gospel you preach, people do not accept it, you are not the problem. Amen. Amen. Why have we gone cold? Are you the problem? He says, as long as you are preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are not the problem. What is the problem? Is there really for me? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. He says, the God of this world has done what? So where does this principality operate? In the world. Much more. Go deeper. In the minds of men. What does it do to their mind? It blinds. So the mind that is blinded cannot see the glorious light. Amen. Church, amen. So what is our ministry? Our ministry will then be to give ourselves to prayer till those men that hold over that man's life is broken. Has it ever happened to you? It may not have. I hope it has. You are talking to somebody. He was arguing. One day the person just comes and says, I see. Has it ever happened to you before? Okay, let's leave the gospel. In normal conversation, you are just explaining something, COVID, or you're explaining something. He said, no, it can't be. Somebody in Abeokuta, COVID, a virus, it's a takeover agenda. You said, no. The person now comes later and says, I see. What has happened to their minds? Opened. So what are we saying? The gospel is good news. Anybody that hears it on a good day would receive it. But there is a principality that has blinded the minds of men. And that is where we find ourselves in prayer. Amen. Amen. Why do we pray? We pray so that hold over the devil, over the minds of these men can. Amen. Did you get that? The hold over their minds can be released. So we pray. We give ourselves to prayer. Fola, sometimes it will take us 7 years. Fola should not say, wow. For us to ask ourselves, how many years? Do you know how many years people prayed for her to have believed as she believed? Because man can be stubborn. How many people know that man can be stubborn? Now, man that is stubborn, partnering with the devil, you know there's a problem. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. So we give ourselves to prayer. And that's what God is looking for. Men that would pray. What else? What else do we do when we give ourselves to prayer? The will of God can come to pass. So, for example, there is somebody, and that's why we always encourage that believers pray in tongues. Why? There is somebody who is somewhere maybe in America, and that person in America, right, is about to be lynched. But God can't do anything except men pray. Amen? So, you are woken to pray. Or you have prayed ahead. In your praying ahead, the people, something will just touch that man. That man will just leave his house. Then the people that wanted to kill him will come into the house and not find him. What happened? The Spirit of God has gone to that place because of the supply of prayer and has been able to aid that man from being killed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Why else do we pray? We pray for men. You know, we have been shouting, Damia's power, Damia's power, Damia's power. But Dami might leave this meeting and forget. So what do we pray for Dami? We pray, and that's why we pray that the power of God moves, signs and wonders flow in a particular place. Not because God is holding power. The power is already in men, but that men may yield. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. So we pray for Dami. That's why you hear every time Paul will say, I'm writing to you, say you have always been in my prayer. Because there is one thing for us to tell Dami she has power. There's another thing for Dami to arise and never forget that she's got power. So we stay in prayer. We are praying for Dami that our eyes will just see, our mind will know, our mind will comprehend. And we're praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. We pray. You know, and sometimes in life, Dami's got power. Dami is the solution to something. But she's bogged down with a lot of things in her mind. She's depressed, unhappy, thinking about many, many things. Then we pray for her. We pray that she's strengthened. Someone say strengthened. Someone say strengthened. Someone say strengthened. Strengthened with might by his spirit is in Ephesians 3:18. You pray that they are strengthened with might by the spirit in their inner man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You pray because sometimes in life, how many people have ever been weak? You feel weak. I'm not talking about physically. You are just tired. You are just tired. Yeah. What do the brethren need to do for you? He says, we pray that you faint not, that you are strengthened with might. Ephesians 3:16, that we know the love of God. So we give ourselves to prayer. Amen. All of this, I'm talking about prayers of intercession for the other. So that's why I told you, when it comes to your needs, it's the cheapest thing. But funny religion, because people always like you to be dependent. Funny religion makes you think that your needs are the biggest deal. So we center all the whole preaching around your need, your need, your need. It is the easiest deal. Do you know how easy needs are? Unbelievers can get things from God. So believers should not spend their time about what I want, what I want, what I want. It is a fallacy. Amen? Hey, God. Amen? I am saying that if you read the Bible honestly, the people that received 5,000 loaves and 2 fishes, or 5,000 loaves and 5,000 fishes from Jesus Christ, what did they do? Were they Christians? Were they believers? After John, when he multiplied loaves and fishes in John 5, or John 6, they still left him. He didn't get angry. They were the populace. I'm saying the miracles are things that are normal for everybody. It is popular religion that makes it look like it's a big deal. If you understand how it operates. And because we teach people Jehovah Sharp Sharp, what I mean by that is people just think that sometimes you will not go through stuff. So when you are going through stuff, they use those things to also market, like, you know what, it's because you have not done this and done that. No, I'm telling you, when it comes to needs, it's the lowest ebb of Christian reality. There are far greater things, eternal things. Can we get a believing amen? So I'm saying to you, yeah, we've spoken about petitions. Ask God for things. Ask him. Yeah. Ask God for wisdom. Yeah. Ask God concerning your this, your that. Stop bothering. You are spending so much time worrying on something you should ask about. And when people ask you, you say, I've talked to the Lord about it. I've cast my care on him. How can he carry my care and I'm carrying it? That's how believers talk. You honestly believe. Imagine Fola tells me she's traveling to America. Fola has a house. People don't know. Fola has a house in Streatham. That house is a 5-bedroom house in Streatham. She's traveling to America. She gives me the key. Say, this is my house in Streatham. I want you to take care of it for me. Imagine Fola always calling me all the time. Hello? Hello, Pastor. Is the house okay? Hello? Is he okay? Is he okay? I say, it's fine. She's just okay, fine. 1 week, hello, Pastor. I'm in Disney enjoying myself, but I just am asking, have you flushed the toilet? I flushed the toilet. You know, it gets to a point, somebody beside Fola will tell Fola, you don't trust the person you give the keys to your house. Have you put off the light? Have you done this? Have you done that? Always want making it look. No. God wants you to be carefree. Why? You send the care to him. When you don't give him the care, you are acting like he's an irresponsible father. That's the real point. You give God a bad PR by being anxious. You act like you are actually fatherless. What's going to happen? No, calm down. That's what you said last year. You are here. Amen. 2 years ago, you still said, you still wept 30th night or 31st. You are here. All the things you were bothering about is not sorted. 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But we don't learn from that, but we are changing. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. So, needs. Now, let's go into the deeper one. God's plan. That's why we give. Why? As we pray, there is a supply of the Spirit. The more believers pray, the more they will see God on the earth. So God on the earth is not maybe because God likes Tuesday or Wednesday or Sunday. God that we see on the earth, meaning in miracles, signs and wonders, deliverances and helping of men, is because some people somewhere gave themselves to. So when I do not pray, I am grieving the Spirit. Or let me say it better. Quenching the church. Let's conclude with Daniel chapter 10. Just so that you will see this thing clearly. Look at what the Bible says about Daniel. So let me give you a little bit of a background. Daniel was a man, right, who realized that they should have seen the move of God in his time. And they had not seen the move of God in his time. Do you know what Daniel did? Daniel now gave himself to prayer. All right? And this is where a lot of people got the 21 days prayer and fasting from. Look at Daniel chapter 10. Are you there? Daniel chapter 10. Are you there? All right. Look at verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for how many weeks? 3 weeks. 21 days. Verse 3. I always want to say this, but I don't want to say it. I ate no pleasant. He didn't say Daniel didn't eat for 21 days. It's just that in those days, how many people know that there are some things you like and there are some things you don't like? It's just like, for example, I'm fasting and I'm eating sushi. So I don't like sushi. So I'm not. Do you get what I just said now? So he ate no. He didn't say he didn't eat for 21 days. That doesn't make sense. He's saying he didn't eat the things they eat in those days when they wanted to enjoy themselves. That's what Daniel actually happened to Daniel. He didn't eat. Look at it. Let's go there. I didn't say we don't fast. We fast. I fast. I'm just saying in this one, he said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh. So did Daniel eat meat? You know, Daniel was someone that loved meat, so he didn't eat meat. Daniel was someone that loved drinking. He didn't drink. What did he call it? He put away things that excited his soul so that he can focus on God. Amen. Just like, for example, Sister Temi loves Netflix. She now says, I need to know the will of God. Netflix, no pleasant Netflix, no pleasant Facebook. Then she's fasting. Amen. Why? The point, you are the one that knows that thing that you need to take away to give yourself attention to something. So, for example, if you're doing Sister Fola was doing an exam, and then she will have said, I am not watching anime for 2 weeks so that I can focus on my exam. She was fasting. What was the fasting? Anime. Do you know what it is? Is it anime? Yeah. So the point is, she's doing that to focus on this fasting. Amen. Yeah. So the point is, I had no pleasant bread, neither flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself. Before, in those days, they cream their faces and they shine. Right. He now says, and he did this. He was praying and he was fasting. Then a man came to him. Right? A man came, please come and play for me, I beg you. A man came to him, look at verse 11, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Verse 11, Daniel 10, 11, understand the word that I speak unto thee and stand upright. Look at verse 12, then he said, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou set your heart to pray, I heard you. But look at verse 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. It was Michael that came to help me. So this man, day one, he wanted to pray. He started to pray. The moment God heard him, God sent an angel. Go answer that man's prayer. The moment he went out to answer the man's prayer, the demonic of stopped him. And they were there for 21 days dilly-dallying. But Daniel, who did not know, stayed praying.
As he stayed praying, what happened? The first person that was sent now got help from a guy called Michael. The angel Michael got to the place, now told the other guy, go and meet Daniel. I will deal with these guys. All of those is happening in the what? Spiritual realm. Daniel does not see it. Daniel is just giving himself to prayer continually. What is my charge to you? Do you know the way to have a supply of the Spirit that is consistent in your life, even for others? Give yourself to prayer continually. You know, there's a way that you pray ahead, that you glide through things because you prayed ahead. A lot of people enter into things they should never have entered into if they were wise enough to be people of prayer. I am not saying things in life will not happen to you. I am saying there are other things in life that you should not have known about. You should not have even encountered because we have given ourselves to prayer. Amen. Because we've given ourselves to prayer. As we make this culture of giving ourselves to prayer, our eyes become open. We start to see, we start to know. You know, I don't use it to brag because I don't want that to be the reason why you pray. I want it to be doctrine to be the reason why you pray. But in prayer, I see. In prayer, I know. It's in prayer I know that which I'm to teach. It's in prayer I know that which to say to Damian Fola, to Ayola, to Simi. It's in prayer I know this message to preach. It's in prayer I know the things to come. Ha! What will I have done if I did not pray? How can I pastor John without prayer? How can I know what men need without prayer? You might say, oh, that's you, Pastor Dio. There is a ministry of prayer that is up to you, that you will give yourself to, that you will say, listen, that this nation will know Jesus. It's not up to God. God never decides a revival. Men do. It's men that determine that, you know what, we want London to know Jesus. And they will zone themselves to prayer, to see the will of God come to pass in the land, to bind the devils and the darkness. And another generation can say, it is what it is. We are here to party. We have one life and we live it anyhow. And what will we see? Anything we like to see. This nation at some point in time, this kingdom that you are still in, Wesley Brothers, many people have come and in their generation, they saw light. In the generation of these guys called Wesley, cigarette and alcohol, the people that actually were selling it closed shop. Why? Nobody again will smoke. There was a time, and these are the inspirations as I pray. There's a time that a man of God entered into a train, having finished prayer. Everybody, they got to the stop. Everybody were on their knees, crying, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, there is a Jesus. Because they've heard this message somewhere before. But somebody had prayed and heaven had kissed earth. And everybody in that substation, the train station, they were weeping to know Jesus. It's because a man decided to. There's a man called Finney. Everybody wanted to know the secret of Finney. Finney would just come and he would preach. And people would wonder, what made Finney very, very successful? And one reporter went to Finney's house. They saw Finney there, praying, crying, calling people's name that he doesn't know, that they may know Jesus. Then he'll come outside and preach in a revival, and many will know the Lord. Let me tell you, there are burdens on your heart, the burdens for Jesus. Don't let this world and the things of this world and survival make you forget it. See, whatever it is that you do, the supply of the Spirit in your generation is not up to anybody but you. If you would supply, if you would do God's will, you'll be a man of prayer. You'll be a one that will give yourself to prayer. You know, we do it more and more. More and more. More and more. More and more. This week, this Saturday, for example, we go 10 hours. Why? Why would we go for 10 hours just there praying? Don't we have better things to do? Oh, that the gospel, that this kingdom, you know, in years to come, we just have simple people coming into the local church. People excited for Jesus. Somebody will now ask, what happened? Tell me, you'll be able to tell them. I allow people to tell them. They will say, oh, between the year 2008 and the year 2023, this church, they gave themselves to prayer.
in such a way never seen before. So when the people come in and when people are on fire for Jesus, don't say, oh, it's a breakthrough as if God just opened. No, it's because we have prayed. We are not using the strategies of men. We are not using gimmicks. We want that same Jesus, that same message, not that we are bringing comedians to the altar. That same Jesus. Men will hear it and they will weep and say, I want that Jesus. It comes by prayer. The men who have given their knees to the spindle, not fake, not all, men who will say, oh, that Jesus will be established in this earth. You see, and that is the pain, my personal pain, that many stand upon the altar and they talk nonsense. They talk about many other things. Me, I, self, self. But no, there is a message. There is a gospel. There is a life. There is a judgment of men, of women, of me and you, because we have received a message so eternal. We have received a life so true. How would it be that we leave this earth and all that we left with was all our earthly accomplishments? Don't get it wrong. I do well in career. I do well in all these other things. But it comes second place to the commitment to prayer and preaching the word of God. That is how we see set the sail of our lives. Paul did it. Peter did it. Jude did it. James did it. Right? You will do it in your generation. You will do it. Say, I will do it. I say, I will do it. I will do it. This message is to stir in your heart a new desire, a burning desire. A desire, something that will make you wake up at night to pray. In the midst of tiredness, you put your leg in water that men would hear. Because you know there is no prayer that you utter that is ever lost. Because you're a woman, a man praying in the spirit. For if a man speaks in other tongues, the spirit prayeth through him. And God is looking for men and women. He's not looking for big boy, men and women. If Dami would arise, if Simi would say something, if you and I, if everybody here would give ourselves to prayer. Yeah, we do it at home. You tell hubby, please give me 1 hour. You will tell friend, no, you will put off Netflix. You will say, this thing is a matter of life and death. If somebody did not do it for me, I would have gone into destruction. Oh, I will do it for somebody else. It's called the love of God. It's called the supply of the spirit. You will cut down on your schedule. Everybody can be busy. London is such a place where which unemployed people have work. They are busy. So you will say, no. In this nation, in this my time, I will serve God. Rise upon your feet right now. Rise upon your feet. Rise